This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
The Stoke City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. The next 30 minutes, it is the Stoke takeover. And when you have a takeover and when you think of the fans taking it over as they should for the next 30 minutes, tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 70 20 558. You think of a man now who joins me, Anthony Bunn from Duck Magazine. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Stoke City Fan Show. Really enjoyed our chat last week. So good to have you back with us. And so good to have you back with us on the back of Monday Night Football going to league leaders West Brom. A 1-0, a clean sheet, 3 points. Does it get better than that, my friend?
Evening, Charlie. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, great, thanks. The results this week, we couldn't really have written them any better, to be honest. You know, after Saturday and we thought if we go West Brom and get a point, that'd be a good result. Really good result. I think every Stokie I know would have settled for a point. And we go and kind of... it was like the old Stoke City. It's kind of like the DNA returned a little bit and... Yeah, absolutely amazing result, to be honest. But, so it's been a great week. And, the green shoots of recovery we spoke about last time, you know, they're getting even greener.
Yeah, absolutely. And we said on last week's show, didn't we, Andy, that we sensed that, you know, West Brom are vulnerable at the minute. They're slightly there for the taking. Don't take nothing away from who they are at the minute. They are the league leaders. But it's 1-8 now for them. And this was a great performance. And it was a great performance away from home. We knew of the impact Michael O'Neill was having. But this was a big, big win for me.
Yeah, it was kind of a... You know, quite a mature performance in a way. We first 20 minutes were quite easily the better team, and got the goal when the old adage is when you're playing well, score when you're on top. We scored, we looked more dangerous, and then we sat back a little bit, and 2 or 3 months ago we'd have lost the game. We'd have lost it quite easily actually by sitting back. But you know, it just seems as though the manager's kind of. Like we've got a proper manager in, you know, we've got a little bit of the DNA back, you know, the matches we've lost under O'Neill, we've been in every game. So, you know, it might not be fantastic football, but, you know, when you're bottom three or four, who cares? It's all about the result. And West Brom huffed and puffed, but they never really, you know, not looked like scoring. They had, you know, a lot of pressure, but they didn't really create too much clear cut. So it was a great performance, you know, and it's one of them performances where you think, well, if we can replicate that kind of, you know, defensive solidity and effort and sheer desire, then we should hopefully be okay. But knowing Stoke, I've been watching Stoke 46 years, put your mortgage on us losing on Saturday.
Well, this is it, because you know it's coming. How can they sustain that going into that next fixtures? We will get to that. But I have to admit, Anthony, I was worried on Monday. I'm watching the game and I thought, you know, you always want to score goals, you always want to win, and you always want to get the goals in early. But there is a pressure when they come so early. That pressure to hold on, it's so difficult to hold on. The home team, that the fans are against you, you know, the home team start to press. And when you do go up 1-0 in the first 10 minutes, the game plan, even though you're the ones leading, kind of goes out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's spot on, mate. The whole mentality changes in a way to, you know, where we sent them out and said, have a go at them first 20 and try to score. If we did, he's a genius. But mainly, it's just keep yourself in the game, you know, get the crowd nice and quiet. You know, build it quite slowly and then let's see if we can nick one. Whereas, like you say, you know, we had 81 plus minutes of kind of being on a 1-0 lead. Do you go for the second or, you know, do you just bank what you've got and then, you know, run the risk? I mean, West Brom are a good team. I still think they'll go up. Leeds have been Leeds at the minute. They're doing the best not to go up. But I think West Brom have got enough quality in there. I think Pereira missing, if he misses three matches now, will be a big loss for them. But They've got some really good players, to be honest. They've got Romain Sawyer's one of the best players in the league. Been after him at Stoke for a long time. I think he's absolute quality. They came down at the same time as us, and probably in a worse state. You know, they obviously had, they got Darren Moore on board. I know they had a decent end of the season, but the club was in turmoil. But their recruitment, they got Dwight Galen last year, you know, and Jay Rodriguez. So they've always had goals in them. So, you know, I'll be surprised if they don't go up. I know, I see Forest have just let one in as well against Reading. And so it's a pretty poor league this year, which doesn't say much for us fourth bottom. But it's a competitive league and it's exciting, but it's, quality-wise, I think it's pretty poor. I mean, I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for Brentford. And they're the team I'd love to see them in the Premier League. I would absolutely love to see it. If it's not us, a team who are getting 8,000-9,000 or whatever, but they play some great football. So, you know, them and, you know, Fulham breathing down necks now as well, you know, Forest until that late equaliser. You know, the pressure's on West Brom. I think that's six without a win.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and I have to agree with you. I think it's weaker, the Championship, than it has been in recent years. It's really been really strong over the past few seasons. But where I can say it's got weaker, I can always say it's got closer as well. I think every team now, there's not a big gulf in class from a team that's bottom and, you know, a team outside the relegation places like Stoke, taking on a team that is leading the league in West Brom. And although they are down the bottom and they beat West Brom, it just shows you, I'm not saying that, you know, Stoke should be up there and West Brom should be down there, but it just shows that there's not much between the two, and there's actually a bigger ceiling and another gear for Stoke to reach now, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, look at that. We talked about the squad last time and how we're underperforming, but I think if you can put someone in your team and whatever standard of football you are, we always said it, maybe it's kids football to, you know, to Premier League, you're only as good as your forwards. If you've got decent forwards in your team, then you've always got a chance. You need to score goals to win things or to succeed. And, you know, since O'Neill's come in, the way we've played has been a lot more pragmatic. We've actually scored, you know, quite a lot of goals in the process, especially away from home. You know, we put five in, we put four in and whatever, and, you know, winning away at West Brom. So, you know, I think the key for me now is trying to find out a system where at home we're going to beat teams who maybe sit in a little bit against us. And, you know, and it's an important, you know, time of the year, especially for contracts as well. I think we need to get Tyrese Campbell his contract sorted as soon as possible, because the lad's got, you know, undoubted potential.
Yeah, and obviously he was the one that got that goal. I want to quickly talk about the goal. And before we get to Tyrese, just great work from Tom Ince. I mean, just brilliant to win that ball and stay there. The movement and the pass, the assist, obviously showing what he can do. But when he's on his game, and I know we haven't seen that enough, the Stoke City fans will bemoan that, but we know he can reach those heights. How important can he be in that second half of the season? And what does he bring to the team?
Well, he's possibly our... probably the player with the most ability. Him and Nick Powell are the players that, you know, the game changers, the players who can do something a little bit out of the ordinary, what maybe some of the others can't. But, you know, the Championship, you know, I've always thought he was a really good Championship player, but especially when it's going well. I always thought, can he dig in a team that, you know, is doing poorly? And it's kind of proved the case, you know, to now that he hasn't. He's been, I mean, you know, pretty poor to average at best in you know, since he's been here. Cost big, you know, big bucks. And, he's kind of seen as a luxury player in a team when, you know, you're bottom three. You know, you want a player who's going to rock up and roll the sleeves a little bit. But also, I said before, you know, you need players who can be creative as well. And he's got that in his locker. And I think with Michael O'Neill, I think the difference he's made since he's come in is that I think he's got a work ethic about the team, and he needs the quality players you've got, your Powells and your Inces, etc., to buy into that. And, you know, and Joe Allen. Joe Allen's been an absolute revelation since Michael O'Neill came in. So if you can get a tune out of Tom Ince, you know, he'll, between now and the end of the season, he'll score or provide another 10 goals. But what we've had over the last year or so has been a, you know, shoulders, you know, shrugging, kind of looking like it's everybody's fault in the world apart from his. So he's got talent. He's got a track record of doing it at this level. And he's had some stick off Stoke fans, but, you know, most of it has been deserved, to be honest. But, you know, he came in on the other night and put a real shift in, and that's all you can ask him about. That's all Stoke fans ever want, is a shift. Any quality on top of that and a good result is kind of a little bonus in a way. But, you know, you've got to be working hard for the badge on your shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously on that early goal for Campbell, teams are interested in him, and a goal like that in this month where there is a winter window, he's only putting himself in that shop window, isn't he? And the interest grows.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Tyrese. I go watch the 23s, and I've seen a few under-18 matches as well. Because my lad's down at Clayton Wood in the academy, a young lad, and I've seen quite a bit of him, and he's got this brilliant knack. I don't want to talk him up too much in case anyone's listening, but he's got the ball falls for him in the box. He's got a sense of where to be. He's got electric pace. There's been questions over his stamina, but you know, he's a young lad. He's only just turned 20, and like I say, it's a very competitive, fast-paced league. But he's playing the full 90s now. I know he got injured the other night, but he's been playing the full 90s. He's scoring goals, crucial goals. He is a real threat. And like I say, he's an England under-20 striker with a fantastic record going through the academy system, now into the first team. I'd be amazed if teams don't want him, to be honest, because goal scorers, as I said before, you're only as good as the strikers in your team. And, you know, it's very, very worrying that he's only on a contract till the end of the season.
Yeah, that's my concern as well. And he's going to be so vital in these next 6 months for Stoke. Hopefully, maybe they can time down to a deal, but we never know. Anthony, I really, really enjoy our chats. Really appreciate you coming on the show as well. I look forward to chatting to you next week. And I want fans who want extra Stoke content, please check out Anthony at Duck Magazine for all Stoke news related. Anthony, I hope we'll have another result to talk about, and I'll enjoy looking, and I'll look forward to speaking to you next week. But don't go anywhere. There is still so much more to come. And we'll be joined by David from the Wizards of Drivel podcast next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
That's right, you're listening to the Stoke City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a show we're having so far. We just heard from Anthony Bunn there from Duck Magazine. Always good to get Anthony on. Well, one guest is never enough. Now we get two. This time I'm joined by David from the Wizards of Drivel podcast. David, this is a special Stoke City Fan Show because we've not had the happiest of times this season. It's not been the most positive. Change of manager, fighting in the relegations. But we went to the Hawthorns on Monday night, got the 3 points. Now we just got that cushion and a little bit of breathing space, and I know it's only one place above the relegation, but there is a little bit of a cushion now, and we're seeing a little bit of light, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Monday night was our best performance in years, possibly going back to the Premier League days, you know. Just massive, massive result for us, that, because I think maybe you kind of twisted my arm into predicting a Stoke win on the last Fan Show.
See, stick with me.
Yeah, just about relented into it. I was not hopeful at all, but just from start to finish, we were absolutely fantastic. And this is kind of typical of the attitude Michael O'Neill has gradually built into the squad now. And we've got that little bit of confidence back, seeing the fight in the team. And it's still a long way to go. I'm not counting the chickens yet, but yeah, it's really, really good to see just how well we can play.
Well, that's why I feel like it's going to be a positive next chapter, because I know on paper, you know, we can look at a league table and go, ooh, 1 point above relegation. But at the minute, the atmosphere around the environment, the aura around the team and the players and Michael O'Neill, this doesn't feel and look to me as though this is a team that is one place out of relegation. And they're certainly not playing like it based on the evidence on Monday night.
No, exactly. And a massive thing recently, or certainly since O'Neill came in, is we look like a team that can score goals now. I mean, we had probably two chances Monday, took one, and that was all we needed. But before he came in, we'd gone 18 months without scoring three in a game, and we scored five at Huddersfield, four at Barnsley, beat Luton 3 goals as well. So we've got that little bit of verve, bit of confidence back, and he's making big decisions. You know, I wasn't particularly happy to see Ndai go or Atebo go, but you wouldn't have said we missed him based on Monday night as well. And he brought Tom Ince back into the team, and I was a bit unsure about that, but Tom Ince played the best I've ever seen him play for Stoke, arguably. And He's proven a lot of people wrong, and I'm so glad he is.
Yeah, and that's it. I asked Anthony that in the first half because, obviously, you know, the biggest takeaway from Monday was the clean sheet and the 3 points, and obviously getting those goals now and so vital for this second half of the season. But just on Tom Ince, and it just wasn't the build-up for the goal. It was everything else, and we've not seen enough of it. And maybe under Michael O'Neill, he will be a new player. You know, certain managers bring the best out in players, and we have to hope that Tom Ince is going to be one of them, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what gives me confidence in that is the way already he's managed to turn around Joe Allen. I've been very critical of Joe Allen this season. Under Jones, he looked like a player a bit lost, to be honest. But I can't fault Allen in any of the games he's played under O'Neill. And I thought he was easily man of the match Monday night as well. Yeah, I think we knew when we bought him he'd be a bit of a hot and cold player. Sometimes he'd turn up, sometimes he wouldn't. But, maybe that performance on Monday's going to give him confidence going into Swansea game. And I think what he also needs, Tom Ince, is a bit like a goal from somewhere, because he's got like a 25-yard pearler in his locker. If he can get one of those pretty soon, obviously I'll be delighted for, you know, obvious reasons, but that could really like give him a vein of confidence he needs to start taking players on again.
Yeah, and you mentioned Joe Allen there. There's actually been, well, he's been heavily linked with a move away. Obviously, West Ham, David Moyes, and it's one that kind of won't go away. Could you think this may happen? And obviously, do you want it to happen? Because he's a vital player, but, you know, sometimes if the club get the money, or is he a player that you would want to stick around?
Well, if you'd have asked me a couple of months ago, I'd have said probably take the money for him. But yeah, but now, especially with it in Dyer and Tevez going, I can't really picture our midfield without Joe Allen, to be honest. I think we'd be very, very threadbare. And that it might be that he is perhaps raising his game in order to attract a Premier League club. And West Ham, they've been battered tonight at Leicester. Maybe they'll be eyeing up a player like Joe Allen in midfield. But I'm pretty confident we can keep hold of him at least till the summer, because January is a bit of an awkward time. Clubs are a bit more reluctant in January. Players cost a bit more. So fingers crossed we keep hold of him at least till the summer anyway.
Yeah, and there has been a few other outgoings as well. Obviously, Ryan Woods leaving to join up with Gary Rowett at Millwall. He hasn't played much, obviously, hasn't had many minutes, but he has been involved a little bit during the season. Was this one not so much of a surprise?
It wasn't so much a surprise, but it's one of those that you look back on with a bit of disappointment, because when he first joined, I thought he was absolutely tremendous, and he's clearly a talented player. I was surprised to see him join back up with Rowett, because Rowett kind of bombed him out of the team initially, I think a bit harshly as well. He's clearly a decent player. We saw at Brentford he was a decent player, and we saw when he first joined, you know, sitting in front of the back four, spraying balls about, keeping the play ticking over. He's really good at that. So, I think it's just one of those, just trying to, you know, lessen the size of the squad, because it was too bloated, especially in that midfield area. So I think O'Neill's just isolating the core group of players he wants around the place, and he's prioritising perhaps attitude and application over talent. And you know what, it's paying dividends so far.
Yeah, but he has signed a player that he will obviously know well, Jordan Thompson from Blackpool. What have you making of this one? Because that is in the midfield area and where you're maybe not expecting it, but a good addition.
Yeah, looking at his stats and stuff, I didn't know too much about him, but his stats and stuff didn't really like strike you as being particularly amazing. I think he's only got maybe a couple of assists this season. But I think what's in his favour, first of all, that he's a young player. And second of all, the fact Michael O'Neill knows him is going to massively kind of reassure a lot of Stoke fans, because we've seen the character of the team he's inherited so far. And if he's bringing players in, you've got that seal of approval from Michael O'Neill already, because he'll know him from Northern Ireland, of course. And I'm just kind of interested to see what his involvement is, whether he'll be a player who can burst forward and create attacks, or maybe he's more of a sort of Sam Clucas, Joe Allen type, who will do a lot of running in midfield. I hope he gets on the pitch for a bit against Swansea anyway, hopefully when we're 3 or 4 up.
And obviously, David, we know how the season's gone so far, and we can't get too low when it's low, and you can't get too high when it's high, you know, especially off the back of this West Brom win. But we did it, we both admitted there is a different feeling after Monday night's game going into the next run of fixtures. What can we now expect? How can they build on this and sustain that form and use it as a platform and a foundation, a building block almost, to really kick on there?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. We can't get too carried away when things are going well, and I think Michael O'Neill is probably the kind of manager who will keep feet on the ground. But I think the biggest thing under Nathan Jones, people might laugh at me for saying this, I still think Nathan Jones is a good manager, and with the right team, it will do very well. But that team was just so shot for confidence. And another player that kind of shows that is Jack Butland. Like, Jack Butland from Monday night is like a different goalkeeper to the one at the start of the season who everything hit at him in his general direction was going in. So I think we'll not get carried away and, you know, start to, fly out the blocks, try and beat teams 3 or 4. Obviously, that would be great if we could. But I think we'll just use that West Brom performance as a kind of bit of a G-up to the lads in the team who have had bad seasons, guys like Ince and Allen and Butland, and say, look, we've gone away to top of the league, we've beaten them and we've been the better team, we can beat anyone now. So keep our feet on the ground, try and win the home games against the likes of Swansea, who admittedly are a decent team and they're doing well, but we've got no one to fear now, and that's the biggest thing about what O'Neill's done, is that we've just lost that fear factor.
Yeah, absolutely, because that win shows what this team is capable of, beating the top of the league West Brom, and I think the perfect man to instill that belief so they can carry it forward is Michael O'Neill. It just feels like that appointment is marrying up well with the players. I mean, it just feels like the right time that happened. You just said it there, it is Swansea on the weekend. Very quickly, David, then, what are you making of this one and your score prediction?
Yeah, like I said, they're a decent side, but we've gone away there under Nathan Jones this season and managed to win. So hopefully the players are confident off the basis of that and off the basis of Monday night as well. I think we can do this one. If we play anywhere like Monday night, I think this would be maybe a comfortable win for us. I'm going to go for 2-0.
Oh, 2-0, wouldn't that be sank? Beating West Brom 1-0, and then obviously beating Swansea, a playoff contender, 2-0. David, either way, me and you will be back next week to talk all about it and have that game to digest over. David, I really appreciate you, as I always do, coming on. David from the Wizards of Drivel podcast. Make sure you check them boys out to get all your extra Stoke content. And the Stoke City show will be back, as it always is, 9:30 to 10 every Wednesday.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.